We all know what's happening tomorrow across Queensland. It's a big day for the future of the state. It's the state election, of course. There's been a lot of activity at pre-poll, massive numbers turning out to vote early. But it all happens tomorrow, and it's a really important election for a number of reasons. It's the first time that the government will be in power for 4 years. Those four-year fixed terms happen as of tomorrow's result. To discuss, analyse, debate what's happened up to this point in the election campaign, I've got two very special guests with me to nut this one out. First of all, from a local point of view, Enterprise North President and former Mayor of Cairns, Kevin Byrne. On the line from Brisbane, John McKell. John is a QUT Adjunct Associate Professor and, of course, a former Labor MP, Minister and very respected Speaker of the Queensland Parliament. Kevin and John, welcome to the King Review.
Wonderful, Gavin. Thanks for having me.
Good to talk to you both. It's good to talk with Kevin again as well.
You too, John.
Now, John, I might just throw to you first and then we'll get some thoughts from Kevin straight after. How do you rate the leaders' performance? I know that you paid close attention to the leaders' debate yesterday. You're obviously looking across the state at how both leaders have been performing. Give us a quick snapshot of both the Premier and the opposition leader.
I would have said this campaign has been the exact opposite to last time. I think this time, the first 2 weeks, the Premier had she looked confident out there, good photos. Then last week ran into the crime issue, which was the talking point. And this week has just been disrupted for both of them by the debate yesterday, where they all have to be back in for that debate. A little bit of campaigning today, and there's another debate tomorrow. So the last week, where you're looking for momentum, it is just the sheer circumstances of media requirements that have stopped that momentum. Deb Frecklington this week, I think, has been looking very relaxed. So I would call it pretty even in terms of their demeanour. The Premier's had the better photos.
And it's an interesting point. I sort of feel that, you know, Deb Frecklington needed to be an absolute superstar. You know, she needed to go above and beyond performance-wise to really break through and get, I think, those 9 net seats. I don't think that that has happened. I think, as you said, John, it's been very even. Kevin, how have you seen the campaign?
Yeah, look, given what's happened, I've been impressed by the campaign from both sides. But more particularly, I think Deb Frecklington has grown as the campaign has gone on. I mean, she started well back in the field, given the exposure that the Premier had through, you know, throughout the last 7 or 8 months, to be fair, almost daily, and the constant hammering of the line, you know, we're here to keep Queensland safe and so on. And it's very difficult for an opposition leader to gain any traction in that environment. She had an unsteady couple of weeks, I think it's fair to say. But certainly, I think John said it, and that is that in the last fortnight she's grown in confidence. Her demeanour's changed. Her articulation of issues has been on the money, and I think, to her credit, she's looked every bit a leader in the last couple of weeks, and that's to her credit.
John and I spoke about the leaders' debate briefly after it yesterday, and so I'm interested to get both of your opinion. I thought Deb Frecklington actually appeared more relaxed. She was more upbeat, a little bit more vibrant. And at times, the Premier was a bit rattled. She looked a little bit, feathers were a little bit ruffled at different points. John, how did you see that performance yesterday?
Yeah, those forums are designed for opposition because you're always, as the leader of the governing party, going to be on the back foot. And there were question marks about how undecided some of the people were. Yes, I would say that at times the whole thing looks scrappy. It probably could have done with a moderator who insisted upon the answers and no interruptions. Yes, I would say that there were times when the Premier looked uncomfortable, whereas Deb Frecklington looked relaxed. I'd go to the substance of it in another question, Gavin, but yeah, look, the takeaway from it was that the undecided voters said they gave it to the Premier with a further 17% of the 50 people who were there came away undecided. So on the yardstick of the people who were there who voted, they said the Premier took it. But I wouldn't disagree with your assessment.
And I think the Premier ended the debate well. I think she landed one of the real blows of that debate, not that there were many blows in general, that line about the costings. Why won't you release the costings? You're going to cut jobs because you won't say how you're going to fund these election promises.
That was a strong point. The other point that she didn't pick up on was when Deb Freckleton said, I would have ordered... I might be getting the words
directed,
wrong.
I think were the words, directed.
Directed the chief health officer. Now, when I hear that, I'm thinking, oh, the politicians know better than the medical people. The Premier didn't pick up on that line. Mm. Mind you, Deb didn't pick up on the line about the costing. She could have said, look, it's all going to be revealed tomorrow. What's your worry? And run her line that way.
And I'm surprised she didn't, in fact, counter that with, well, where's the budget? You're not going to release...
Exactly right. And so, to your point, were they both great debaters? The answer to that was no. Mm.
Kevin, to you now, and it was a massive topic of debate. In fact, it dominated almost the first half of that leaders' debate. The border situation, you've been very strong on this. Deb Frecklington and the LNP, in fact, I think, have really danced back away from this issue. They were fairly strong early on about, look, we need to consider tourism and the economy and jobs, and yes, we need to protect people's health, of course, but now they went silent on it, which I mentioned on a show a couple of weeks ago. We may hear about that border reopening either the day after the election, the cynic in me might say. Can you rate the LNP's position on the border situation?
Oh, look, they were wedged from the outset. The reality was, I think, that they wanted to go there. Because at the end of the day, if you have a look at the sheer numbers, they have to win in the regions. And I think they put their foot in the water and then probably read some polling and decided to back away from that, because there was a very strong message throughout the state that it was about safety and it was about health and so on. I disagree about that in terms of what governments are responsible for. I mean, that's part of the issue. So I think that they read the tea leaves and decided this was too hard. But it's interesting to see how the border issue has rolled out. Peter Beattie came in strongly a couple of days ago, and quite rightly. Our view has been, and John will understand this one from his ministerial days, this is a huge state. We're further from Brisbane than Brisbane is from Melbourne, for example. And the one-size-fits-all mantra really didn't suit the management of this, particularly in relation to the tourism industry in regional Queensland and regional Australia, for that matter. So there's been a difference of opinion about that. In terms of going back to the debate, I think that these are largely academic issues. At the end of the day, we're talking about two-thirds of the voting population has made up their mind or have casted their vote. 50 people in a room, 17 undecided. It's media conjecture now, who does what to whom and how they performed. I think these debates, I don't know, I'd be interested in John's view here. I think that they should occur, you know, 4 weeks out, at least at the latest 2 weeks out, so people have a fair idea. In the last week, cramming it in the last couple of days, hobbles leaders. They've got their agenda in terms of peaking at the right time in an election, and I think we should really look seriously at scrapping them in the last week.
They're almost a waste of time at this point, and campaigning, the nature of campaigning has changed because so many people are voting early. Now, it brings us, I guess, to the regions, and it's great news for us in our part of the world where there seems to be so much focus on the regions, particularly Townsville and Cairns, as well as some other regional cities slightly further south. John, to you first, why is that the case seemingly in this election more than any I can remember?
Because there are just simply more seats to be won and lost in the regions. There is probably an argument that both sides are maxed out in the southeast. When you look at the record number of candidates, the record numbers of parties, That's playing out in terms of bigger representation now in the regions. Qatar's with three, One Nation are there. And so for both parties, you've got two seats, one in Cairns that's been with the government of the day since 1974, and that's Barron River. In Townsville, the seat of Mundingburra has been with the government of the day since 1992. So the yardstick usually, and it's not a predictor of the future, has been you lose those two, you're out of government.
Well, the polling and the bookies say that LNP will pick up Barron River. So if it is that bellwether, then that's going to be very interesting. Kevin, do you agree with, I guess there's some commentary, that the path to government lies in the regions? Is that correct? Is that possible to form government, win government, based on the regional seats?
John's absolutely correct. I think if you look at metropolitan Queensland down that southeast corner, the lines drawn on the map have pretty well articulated which side of politics will own what seats, and there's very small margins of error. The issues that are playing out in regional Queensland are also issues that, if you have a look at it on a national scale, play out in regional Australia. And the issues are very, very separate and very different that we have up here. And they're not sort of issues of isolation so much as to how you manage these big states and whether the management expertise that resides in the government offices in Brisbane is suitable for the model that we have in delivering services and not just social services, but the hard services of roads and infrastructure in regional Queensland. And I think that issue has been magnified more, and you see bigger emphasis now on, and I don't necessarily subscribe to this, that we should have another state, drawing a line across north of Rockhampton. That's not the answer. It may be in 20 or 30 years if we don't smarten up how we manage our obligations to a big state, a decentralised state like Queensland.
Well, I think that's definitely a topic for another show.
Yeah.
Because it always comes up, this breakaway North Queensland state.
And I'd love to discuss that at some stage with John, because he's seen it from both sides. Mm.
Now, I know that
the only point I'd make, Gavin, just to pick up on Kevin's point, when I last met with Kevin, I was asked to do a trading hours review. And what Kevin has just said about regional variance is just so true. And it was so true on the night I met Kevin, the day we had a yarn about it. I went further north to Mossman and got a totally different view and a totally different reasons. And that's what's important about regional Queensland. Mm. Every region is different, and that all demands a different political response, in a sense. Sorry about that.
I know that you both have to run, so let's wrap this up. Final point to both of you. Kevin, I'll throw you in the hot seat first.
Right.
Who's going to win? What will be a rough makeup of those seats?
You know what, I'm not, as both of you would know, a person that sits on the fence. But look, I did the numbers this morning of what I thought and where we would go. There won't be a clear winner. And there won't be a clear winner for a number of weeks. I mean, you've got all these postal votes to count. You've got a whole range of issues that are going to be considered. Anybody that thinks that they're rolling out the champagne on Saturday night, better leave it in the fridge for a bit. I think Labor is going to lose some seats. I mean, they currently sit at 48. I think that they will lose some seats. The obvious issue is how many will the Greens pick up in metropolitan Brisbane? It's quite likely that they'll go from one, and quite likely they might end up with three. You could take them off Labor's score sheet. Labor will lose some seats in regional Queensland. And it just now then becomes a question of the negotiation after the day of which minority government forms. This is in my view.
And they've both said they won't form government with a minor party. They both said that in the leaders' debate.
That's the normal mantra that you find in these sorts of close contests, you know, to appear tough. At the end of the day, as the pragmatists know, you need to sit down and you need to negotiate these close calls. You need to negotiate your way into government. And if you don't do it properly, you're going to sit on the opposition benches. So, look, I know that's probably not the answer you wanted, but I think it would be a very brave man to tip a government forming today.
Speaking of brave men, John, Your prediction?
Well, four seats lost by Labor to the LNP, and they're out of business. I agree with Kevin. I think Labor will lose seats in the regions, but I do think there's one I can see, and possibly two they could pick up in the southeast. I think the losses to the Greens will be minimal. I don't see the Greens getting three. They may get one more. So sticking my neck out, and please don't, any listener, don't race out to the bookies and do this. Labor in a squeaker, but I'm with Kevin on this. If you think you're going to have a great election night party with a clear winner, I'm not with Kevin. I'd put the champagne back on the ice, because this one is dependent on preferences, and there's nothing predictable about these preferences. Nothing.
Well, it's a fascinating few days or weeks, as you say, ahead to determine who wins this Queensland election. With decades of political experience between you, it's been a great pleasure and honour to have you both on the show. John McKell, Kevin Byrne, thanks very much.
Gavin, thank you. Thanks. And thank you, John. Lovely to talk to you, mate.
Yeah, love to hear from you too, Kevin. Good luck.